Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 15 this morning. Man, we're starting to wind it up, starting to wrap up Romans. What a great journey it's been traveling through this letter written by Paul the Apostle and really setting some things straight regarding the grace of God and the law and the importance of walking in the Spirit and really experiencing the fullness of what God has for us and not being bound up in legalism, but being set free to enjoy a journey with the Lord. Man, what a great adventure the Lord has set us out on as Christians, brought us into the family. And we've been brought into the family of God, not because of the things that we've done, but because of who he is and what he's done for us. It's really, this is the distinction between Christianity and all other religions of the world. Religion seeks to establish a righteousness or a right standing with a God by means of personal efforts and works. So every other group is trying to climb up to God, to be in connection with God by their own efforts. And that's a drive within humanity. You know, we want to have a part of our salvation a lot of times. We want to help save ourselves and stuff. Give it up. It isn't going to happen. You can't do it. And that's the best thing that we could ever hear, because it's an effort in futility. It's just a constant effort that you will never attain to a right standing except for receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That is that God sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth and created a way for us to have fellowship with him, but it is God reaching down to you, reaching down to me, not us trying to attain by climbing up to God, but it is God reaching down to us. That is the main distinction between all other groups and true Christianity. And man, we should celebrate that every day that our eyes peep open. We should just celebrate that, man, God loves you. God loves me. God has fellowship with us because of his son, Jesus Christ. And what an exciting, exciting experience the Christian journey is. Man, nothing compares to that. Paul's writing back to this group in Rome, wanting to communicate some things with them. He hasn't been there. He wants to get there. He wants to be face-to-face and fellowship with them. But he knows the group's there. He knows there's a lot of controversy there. It's a very pagan environment. He wants to get back and get to that place and be able to communicate with them face-to-face. But not able to do that yet. So he pens this letter to our advantage, you know, what he pens, you know, the benefit that we get from it. But, you know, we covered this idea in chapter 14. He kind of went into, you know, we hit at chapter 12, practical Christianity, how your Christian experience should be being lived out. Now, if you're trying to live, if you go to chapter 12 and start trying to do from chapter 12 and just start trying to experience chapter 12 without really going through chapters 1 through 11, you're missing a big chunk of it. You're missing the thrust of it. You're missing really what's going to enable you. It's similar to looking at the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. The first three chapters, it talks about who we are in Christ, what he has done for us as individuals, what God has done for us. And then the second three chapters of Ephesians, chapters 4, 5, and 6, tell us what our life should look like because of what he's done for us. This is similar. The first 11 chapters really are kind of telling us, man, what God has done through his son Jesus Christ for all of humanity. It tells us who we are apart from the Lord, who we are in the Lord, what God has done for us. And because of this, the only reasonable response is that we commit our lives as a living sacrifice. That's the only reasonable response to God's grace and his mercy, is that we just surrender ourselves wholly over to the Lord. And so now as we go along, we're kind of learning some practical things about the Christian experience. And in chapter 14, it was really a lot to do with our interaction with other people and kind of really what it might be, the difference between kind of legalism which is really viewed as the weaker versus those who are stronger in the faith. And we talked about what that meant, the faith, the embodiment of all of the scriptures and what it means to really walk with God by grace and to enjoy grace, the freedom that we have. But we're not to use the freedom we have as a cloak for vice. We're not to use the freedom as we have and stumble others. You know, just because, well, I have the freedom, I can do whatever I want, you know, about this, you know, because you've got this grace upon your life. But that we're to use that in a way that is going to be beneficial to others. Paul the Apostle said in Corinthians, not all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient or profitable. Not all things really are going to be helpful. So as we get into this chapter 15, he's still following that same thought of, man, okay, so we talked about the meat market and how that worked. You know, you can go buy your steak somewhere. And we talked about the difference of what was happening in their culture. But it was really about using your freedom wisely, not using your freedom just because you have freedom to do whatever you want, but using your freedom wisely. And so as we hit this verse 1 of chapter 15, kind of pick up this thought of the higher law is love, that we really aspire to do things that are beneficial for others. He says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples or the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. So if you're really a strong believer, that is that you really have an understanding of God's grace, that you really have an understanding of the freedom that you have as a Christian, that we are to bear with those who maybe are a little more technically minded about the details of certain things and are a little more legalistic. Now, what's interesting about that is I notice that we see Jesus from time to time correcting those that approach him regarding certain legalism things, don't we? What about, you know, the healing on the Sabbath? What about walking through the grain fields and kind of getting something to eat? And say, hey, you're not supposed to be doing, you know, what are those guys doing? The Pharisees running around out in the grain fields watching. You know, those are questions we all might have. But they're Ricky Rule finders. They're trying to find something wrong, aren't they? And so, you know, we see this stuff going on. But Jesus is so, man, he corrects what's not right in their thinking about the truth of the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with us lovingly bringing about a correction. Hey, you know, I know you see it that way, and I understand that you're uncomfortable doing that, and that's all right. I get it. You know, there's a way to communicate these things, but not just exercising our freedom just because we can. He says, man, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not please ourselves. He said, it's not all about you and what you have the freedom to do. It's about who God is in your life and enjoying that freedom as a Christian, but not doing things that are going to just stumble other people. Let's go on just a little bit further. It says in verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good. In other words, we're thinking about other people, leading to edification, building someone up in their relationship with the Lord. Paul's desire, one of the things he's really pushing for, is kind of what's been mentioned a couple times already this morning, is, and I learned this in, you know, Bible school. It was like one of the early things that they taught us, man, when you keep the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus. Are you doing that in your Christian experience? Is that what's happening with you? Is Jesus really the main thing? Or is the freedom that you have the main thing? Or maybe you're the main thing in your Christian experience. If that's the case, you might readjust your Christian experience, because you're going to find that's not really the most fruitful or exciting or blessed experience. The best and blessed is that we keep Jesus as really the main thing. He's really what it's all about. Man, thinking about, man, how we can further the kingdom How would the Lord use me today to share His love with someone else? It might just be a pleasant exchange with someone. Where you share something pleasant with someone else. Where you say a kind word to somebody. It might be just if God speaks to your heart, it might just be saying, hey, you know what? God bless you. Or you know what? I really like doing this time of year. I really enjoy it. I like when I'm checking out somewhere after a small purchase of eggs or something. And I like looking at the cashier and they look at me and they, you know, happy holiday. I look at them and I go, Merry Christmas. And I go, you know, it's okay if you say that back to me. I won't be offended. And a lot of them want to say Merry Christmas back to you. A lot of them want to. It's not politically correct. And some of them even want to just whisper it. Because maybe their job's in you know, jeopardy over it. But, you know, I like to set them free. You know? Hey, it's okay. You can say Merry Christmas to me. Man, I never thought in these here United States that I would see such a thing. I never did. I never thought that. As a kid growing up, man, right in front of our public library was this big old giant pine tree. And right underneath that pine tree, every year, was a live manger scene. No one ever thought to complain about that. No one ever thought, I mean, that was my whole life growing up, it was like that. I always knew this time of year there'd be a live manger scene underneath. We'd go down there as a family and look at the little sheep and the goats and the different animal and see Jesus, baby Jesus in there and, you know, Mary and Joseph. And, you know, it was just, that was normal growing up. Not today. That's not really politically correct to do that. It's interesting, the times in which we live and the things that become offensive and set people free. Maybe that's what you get an opportunity to do. But are you thinking about the opportunities that might be out there in the Lord? Just to set someone free that it's okay if they say Merry Christmas to you? Tell them, hey, I'm a Christian. It's okay. You won't offend me. Merry Christmas is all right. Man, it's great. What a great thing. Let each of us please his neighbor for leading to edification. So something that's going to build up. So instead of getting caught up in all the little, you know, things that kind of cause dissension and division within the body of Christ, the things that maybe we have trouble agreeing on sometimes, man, find the commonality things. And Paul's going to kind of get into that a little bit further when we hit verse 14 and on through the rest of this chapter. It's kind of an interesting chapter where it kind of divides out. Because in verse 14 on through to the conclusion of the chapter, he's kind of talking about his outreach ministry. Okay, so it's kind of interesting that he says, hey, we really, in these 13 verses, he's saying, hey, you know, maybe we ought to think about what really is the most important thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Not really whether you can eat the steak bought from that meat market or the other meat market, or let's not make those things the big issue. Because in today, let's take today. For us, maybe it's, well, I see that scripture a little bit differently. We talked about not taking, you know, the essentials and lowering them to the level of a non-essential. And let's not take the non-essentials and raise them up to the importance of an essential. Let's keep things balanced out. The main thing is the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. And that's what these 13 verses are going to be talking about that we're learning about this morning. Keeping that the important, and what a great time of year for us to have an opportunity to do that. Really keep that main focus, the main focus. And Jesus is the main focus. He's what really matters. It's easy to get caught up in things that cause division or dissension, and oftentimes their pet views about things regarding the Bible, the Word of God, and their kind of, or a vantage point that they have about something, and they just go off, and now the whole ministry is built on that viewpoint. I watch groups that oftentimes run up the flag and their banner is, we're opposed to this now. And all of a sudden that flag comes down, up goes the next flag because that's the new banner they're going to wave. We're opposed to this thing now. You know what? I am for God. I'm for His Son, Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and for the salvation that's found only upon His name, and for all that confess His name and would profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and profess Christianity. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have no need to war. I know who the enemy is. My own flesh, the world, and the satanic forces. It's clear to me, biblically. This is clear. This isn't something out of my head. This is something I believe because the Word of God teaches this. That's the enemy. So let's keep that the enemy and let this other stuff work itself out. In other words, what Paul's saying in that chapter 14, he's saying, hey, give people some space. Let them grow. Let them learn in their walk about God. Extend that grace that you would want extended to you. When maybe some guy's telling you, hey, you know, we're going to get together and have a Bible study and you know, we're going to really get into, you know, some things regarding the Lord and stuff. And they tell you, we're going to get into Hebrews, you know. And I did this as I just gotten plugged back in with the Lord and some older guys being really cool with me. And I said, hey, man, listen, I'm not really interested in that type of thing. I really want to know just more about Jesus, which Hebrews is all about. But I didn't know. But the guy didn't give me some spiritual body slam and take me right to the ground, or he didn't get the bat out and, you know, kaboom, plug me in the knees and drop me. You know, he was really cool about it. He goes, oh, okay. Well, what would you like to read and study out of the Bible? That's keeping the main thing the main thing. You see what I'm saying? The guy's interested in my journey with the Lord. And hey, we can find Jesus anywhere in the Bible. So whatever you want to do. He didn't say that, but I know that's what he's thinking now. Isn't it great? Man, the guy really ministered to me and loved on me, even as ignorant as I was of the things of God. Isn't that a good concept for us to grasp? He didn't try and take some weird spiritual superiority over me. He just tried to bring me along where I was at. Isn't that great? What a thought. Your thought that, man, you could do that for somebody and just encourage them and, you know, talk to them and just interact with them just on a real simple, loving, oh, what a great thought. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his own good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Man, Jesus did what the Father had called him to do. Not just doing whatever he wanted, but he was yielded to the Father and the purpose of the Father. He was yielded to that. Father, if there be any other way in the garden, Jesus prayed, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Speaking of the crucifixion. But yet, what does he say? Not my will, but your will be done. Do you pray that way? Do you think that way? We've got so much freedom in the Lord, and it's a wonderful thing. Let's use it wisely for the furtherance of the kingdom, that God's purpose might be done. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically he's saying this is where there should be unity. Unity in Jesus Christ. Yielded to Jesus Christ. Not caught up in just your stuff, but yielded to the Lord. Not getting caught up in pet views, but yielded to the Lord. There is unity in the person of Jesus Christ. There is unity. It's not like we have to run up the flag of unity and we have to make some big unity rally or something like that. We don't need to do it. We are unified in Him. And we need to trust the Lord with His grace and His mercy and walk in that. Man, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Man, when we learn what has been done for us, past, present, and future sin, done away with on the cross. There's no recollection of your sin, except for by the enemy and sometimes other people. Other than that, there's no recollection by God of your sin. It's done. When you confess, it's done. God washes and cleanses. He sees you in His Son, Jesus Christ. But man, how many of us really walk knowing that, what God has done for us? The forgiveness that's ours in Him. Man, he said, that's the kind of stuff to be focused on. The patience and comfort of the Scriptures. That's the kind of stuff we're to be communicating with one another. Understanding and comforting one another because of His Word. Knowing that we're washed and cleansed. Man, in that, he says in verse 5, be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Focus on Jesus and let that be the central theme of everything that you're doing. You know, this is why later in this chapter he gets into this, hey, share in my journey. And he's talking about his outreach to the Gentiles. This is why he really focuses on this from verse 14 on. And the reason he really gets into this, and I love this part, if we can grasp this, is that man, when there is evangelism, when we're reaching out and we're watching new life happen, man, we will be focused on what God is doing in new life. And all this other stuff just kind of pales by comparison. Because that's really what matters. Not our little view of the kenosis and what really happened. What did he really empty himself of? You know? That's great. Study it all you want. Come up with your conclusions. And that's awesome and everything. But that's not what it's all about. People being connected with the person of Jesus Christ. Coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Out of darkness into light, His marvelous light. From a life that's perishing to a life everlasting. To a life of total destruction. To a life that's worth living and quality. Man, that's exciting stuff. When our focus starts to shift off of us. And how we don't want that. We'd like to see it a little different. We wish we could, you know, and all the stuff that we come up with of how and why it should be different than it is. And we start looking, man, we got a dying world that surrounds us. People leave the planet regularly without Jesus Christ. And we're going to sit as a bump on a pickle. God help us. You know, we want to be motivated by His Holy Spirit to share the love of God with other people, to encourage them, to bring them to hear the Word of God, that they might know the love of God. That's really the focus. All this other stuff is a shift off of what's really important. And that's what Paul kind of is driving at through this whole chapter. So you can embrace that and know that's where he's going with this. You see, he said those divisions that happen, that's not the Lord. That's not about Jesus. Flip with me really quickly over to 1 Corinthians. And in the first chapter, in verse 10, Paul the Apostle writing here says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you should all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you, or divisions among you. Now, I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul. He says, hey man, we're running with this group over here. I'm of Paul. And then he says, or I am of Apollos. And you remember Apollos, he was a great orator. Or I am of Cephas or Peter. Or I am of Christ, even better. Well, we're of Christ, you know. And so now they've got the real high road. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any others. He said, I can't really remember. I travel a lot. You know, basically, just say, I can't remember exactly everybody. But, you know, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect. And so he says, basically, contentions and these divisions and stuff, they're not healthy. It's not going to produce good fruit. And I'm thankful, within our fellowship, we really don't have much of this that goes on ever. You know, it's very, very limited, if at all. But I share all this with you that we might continue to guard what we enjoy. The freedom, the peace, the love, the everything that we get to enjoy, we want to guard that wisely and not fall prey to these traps of, well, we're this or we're that. Man, you know what? We want to be followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in love. That's kind of it in a nutshell. We just want to follow the Lord in love, and we want to experience. We understand we have some differing views and we have some different ideas. That's great. That's great. There should be diversity. Every one of us is uniquely designed. To the best of my knowledge, not even identical Twinkie twins have exact DNA that matches, you know? They don't exactly match, do they? Well, there should be diversity. Diversity is a wonderful thing. But what are we united in? And that's the person of Jesus Christ. You see, he's the one that saved us. He's the one that died on the cross for our sins. Man, he's the one that loves us with a perfect love, unending. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, Jesus loves you and accepts you. What a great thing to know. Man, that draws us into his presence. Man, when we start building these other kind of weird walls up about this and about that, and, you know, man, that's not a bridge, that's a wall. We're supposed to be building bridges to connect with other people. You can have distinct views. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's healthy. But we just read in Romans that each man should be fully persuaded in his convictions. But are we to push those convictions onto one another about certain things that are doubtful things, the Bible says? No. Why? Do you believe in the power of the gospel to change lives? I do. And I believe in the love of God to change lives. That God's love is superior to everything else. And the force of that, when you just love other people. As you know, one of my friends out of the area has been really having a rough time, you know, with his marriage has kind of imploded, and, you know, 25, 26 years into it, and, you know, it's been a real, real rough go for him, and his wife's gone back into the world, and we're just praying that she would just come back to the Lord. And, you know, that's they're great, great folks. And yesterday, you know, for the first time in 5 months, you know, they've been able to sit down and just have a face-to-face discussion. And one of the things we talked about in advance of that, you know, because the Lord really started changing my heart, my prayer time for them started shifting, and it was more toward a prodigal and more come home, you know, return to Jesus, you know. These are people that are close to my heart, you know. These are people I used to get stoned with when I was in high school. And I used to, you know, just party with all the time. And I had an opportunity when I came back to Jesus. And I went hunting, man. I went looking for all my party friends. And I shared Jesus with them. And they were one of the couples that gave their hearts to the Lord. They never went to church. They never knew about God or anything. And so it's real close to me. And knowing that she's gone back into the world, you know, it's heartbreaking to me. You know, it's always a moment away. I live like that. In my mind, it's a moment away. It's a bad decision away. And so I want to stay close to the cross. I want to stay close to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I'm no better than anybody, and especially in that situation. And I was talking to my friend, and he was telling me, yeah, I'm going to be meeting with him. I said, man, you know, if you're able, you know, if you're able, if you're able to communicate to her, you know, what some of the things you've communicated to me that you're willing to want to forgive, you want to move forward from this place, you know. And I talked to him late last night, and he said he was able to communicate those things. You know, he doesn't know how that's all going to change anything, but, you know, she wanted to know what the options were. What are the options? Well, I guess we can pack our stuff and go each separate directions, or you know, we can ask God to reconcile this and let God in the middle of this. And, you know, and so he shared that with her. You know, those are rough things, man. That's intense stuff to be working out. But, you know, it wasn't a time, you know, when I've talked to him, it hasn't been a time to get into some, you know, bunch of detailed doctrinal discussions. You know, it's a time to share the love of God. Hey, hang in there, man. Hang in there. God loves you. God's not punishing you. God loves you. God can heal this. God can restore this. Man, just ride it out. Let the love of God in on this. You know, these are difficult times. You know, we can get so wrapped up in ourselves and start talking about all kinds of, well, you know, I'm doing this and this is going on and that, you know, and hearts are breaking, lives are getting messed up. And, you know, I went last night, I spent a bit of time out of Galatians, and it was fresh in my mind because of what we're reading about divisions and about the love of God really overshadowing everything, and reaching people with Jesus is what's really it's all about, even if it's reaching back to grab people that know Jesus, even if it's reaching back to grab them and bring them in, you know, and bring them along, bringing them out, pulling them out of the fire, as Jude said, you know. And I told him about in Galatians, because it was part of this morning's message, really, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, where it talks about bearing each other's burdens. And that whole situation in verse 1 of chapter 6 in Galatians, where it talks about bearing each other's burdens, that part right there is talking about, you know, a person who has taken a frontal hit in a battlefield situation. They've taken a direct hit from the enemy, and they're doubled over, they're on the battlefield, and you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness and gentleness, basically knowing that, hey man, that could be you that took the frontal hit, because we're engaged in warfare. Did I told you that? Did you guys know that? We're engaged in a warfare. If you're a Christian, you're engaged in a warfare. There's good, there's evil, and you're engaged in a warfare. You're hanging out with the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to reach people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the enemy hates you. The enemy wants to destroy you, wants to kill you, does not want you coming here and gathering in Jesus' name and worshiping Jesus. No, he hates you, and he wants to ruin your reputation. He wants to ruin everything that has to do with anything that you stand for in Jesus Christ. You got a big, giant target on your back. Have I told you that? That's the reality of it. We're engaged in the warfare. There's souls weighing in the balance of these things. And man, we want to be tuned in to what's going on around us, don't we? Man, it's real. My buddy's living. I mean, this is real. This warfare became extremely real 6 months ago. Taking a frontal hit. They're crippled or doubled over on the battlefield. And what are we to do? Those who are spiritual, man, get them up off the battlefield. Get them into a safe place. And then it says restore. That word restore in Galatians that he uses, that word restore right there is to reset a broken bone. That which has been destroyed or reset it. And I say, maybe that's what the Lord would speak to you regarding this. Maybe we need to look at this really from a spiritual perspective. Because, I mean, frankly, brothers and sisters, the guy's experiencing and suffering from just extreme personal violation in all this. I mean, it's just really horrible, you know, what he's going through personally. But I'm sharing with a man, you know, maybe you should look at it. Let's now that we've gotten through the anger issues, now that we've gotten through all that, let's now look at this from God's perspective. Somebody took a hit. It was your wife. She's been taken captive by the enemy. And man, it's time to go in on a recon trip, man. Let's get in there and recover, you know? This is what we're engaged in, spiritually speaking. And this is what Paul's talking about here in chapter 15 and in Galatians and in 1 Corinthians. You know, not getting caught up in sectarianism, different groups and divisions and all that stuff. Man, we don't want to build that up as if that's some good thing. We want to diminish that and what? Lift up Jesus Christ and point things to Jesus Christ. So reset that which has been fractured. Put it back in its right place and then what? Give it time to let it heal, that it might heal back up. You know, love is really a decision that we make. Anybody that thinks it's just all, you know, only infatuation, I find it to be largely that, but it is, you know, but that's just because I'm blessed beyond belief. But the reality is that it is a commitment to really cherish someone, to care for someone. Guys, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That means selflessly, not selfishly, selflessly. Not thinking so much of, and that means, you know what that means? Sometimes just sitting and having a cup of hot tea, turning off the ball game, and just visiting. Why? Because you like to visit a lot? Because you probably don't, guys. I understand that. But because your wife needs to. Your wife needs to visit. So you got to turn off your laptop. You got to turn off your computer. You got to sit down and just be face to face with not a bunch of other distractions and interact. Because that's a very meaningful and significant to them. Have I told you guys that before? Maybe I've mentioned that kind of thing before. But I just know it's really, really important, guys. Your life will be much better. Much, much better. And you'll be able to learn to read the road signs better, and maybe, perchance, God help us all, that we can all focus on Jesus Christ, and that marriages are spared from the enemy, that there's less damage on the battlefield. Let's fight the good fight. That's a fight worth fighting. Why the toothbrush got left out the way it did, and who left the tube rolled up, and all the other dumb stuff that we fight about, you know? That's not worth fighting about. But fighting in the Spirit for our loved ones, our family, friends, is that's worth it. And so I shared with my friend about just that in Galatians, and I explained the difference between sometimes we're to encourage people to carry their own load. And so how do I know then? This gets into the question, right? Because in Galatians it says, bear one another's burdens, bear each other's burdens. And then in verse 6, what does it say? It says, hey man, carry your own load. Well, which is it? Is it bear each, which one do we do? Well, it's one at one situation and it's one at another situation. Uh-oh, now I've got to be kind of spiritual here, and I've got to trust God, and I've got to be walking in the Spirit, and I've got to be, you know, really following the Lord to know which one is it at which time. Because sometimes we need to exhort someone, you know, and tell them, hey, you got to get with the program. We had a guy that was a slacker that we used to backpack with, you know. And so we taught him a great lesson. It was awful. It was a wrong thing to do, but we had to do it. We were 14 years old, and it had to happen. We're going up this one pass, and this guy was lame, man. He fell backwards with his backpack on in a creek. We're just crossing a creek. No, the guy goofs out and falls backwards, and now he's floundering like this. And have you ever tried to pull somebody out of the water that has a backpack on with water kind of rushing over? Now their backpack's taking on water, and you're trying to get them back up, and they've got like a 65-pound back. It was a nightmare. And we're all little skin and bones, you know, 14-year-olds trying to pry our buddy up out of the creek. So this is just getting frustrating. Now we're starting to head up this pass, so we got a big boulder while we're going up. We just set it on his pack. Now that seems really mean. And it was. But when we got to the top of the pass, he made it, by the way. We had to shove him along and he made it. And we sat down, we lifted off the rock and we showed him. Dude, you can do this. You can do this. Now, there was a lot less wine in the rest of the pack trip. There was a lot with that. You know, there's a time when the right thing to do is kind of push something to a limit. And then there's a lot of times where you got to just back it off and handle it a lot differently. You've got to, only the Holy Spirit and the presence of the living God and His Word can give you that kind of direction to know. So what do I have to be? I have to be in His Word. I have to be walking in the Spirit to determine which of the situations it's going to take. Because it's different. How do I know someone really took a hit on the field? Well, you need to know the Word then, don't you? To know whether this was a demonic attack, whether they've just succumbed because of their own flesh. Are we asking the right questions? Are you in prayer? Are you in fellowship? Are you in the Word of God? Are you breaking bread? Are you partaking of communion? Are these things happening in your life? Those are the four main ingredients, right? For the solid Christian experience to be taking place. Again, see, what happens when we've been following the Lord for a while, we forget that somebody that's just jumping on board, that is revelational. That is new, fantastic data. I never stop talking about the original stuff, because that's all I got. Yeah, I'm growing, I'm journeying with the Lord, but man, I never want to forget how important the basics are. You want to learn what you're supposed to know in boot camp, right? Once you get out in the field, they're real. The bullets are real, you know? It's time to know. Well, I think Christianity is like that, isn't it? We want to know what we're supposed to know. We want to walk with the Lord. So let's glorify the Lord all the way through this. In verse 7, let's pick this up and wrap it up. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has come as a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Okay? So he's talking about he came to the nation Israel. He came to his own people. He's born out of the nation Israel. He came to the nation Israel, right? So who are you to go to? There are two people groups, right? Two. As far as God's concerned, two people groups. There's the nation Israel, and there's Gentiles, everybody else. There's two people groups. There's not a bunch of people. There's two people groups. There's the nation Israel and everyone else, which is Gentiles. And he says, man, he came to the nation Israel to confirm the promises made to the fathers, to the truth of God, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. That's out of the Psalms. And then rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. That's out of the law, out of Deuteronomy. And then praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. That's out of Psalms. And then out of the prophets, in verse 12, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. He takes out of the three main writings of the Jewish Bible, takes three main portions there. The law, the writings, and the prophets. So the Psalms are part of the writings. The law, Deuteronomy, and Isaiah there, the prophets. He takes out of those three main things and he says, those three things are talking about the Gentiles. Yes, he came to the Jews. He wants to reach them. But he's also wanting to reach the Gentiles. In other words, he's trying to show unity in all peoples in the person of Jesus Christ. There's not unity in all peoples just in all peoples, but there's unity in all peoples in the person of Jesus Christ, isn't there? Man, because that is the common denominator. His blood washed and cleansed your sins, just as his blood washed and cleansed my sins. Just as his blood washed and cleansed the people on the other side of the world, their sins, and so on and so on. It's his blood that did the work. It's his love. It's his grace that's being extended. It's his mercy that's being extended. Now, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man. The God of hope, another name, kind of a new name for God, the God of hope. May the God of hope, and what is hope? Always in the New Testament when hope is mentioned, it is the constant expectation of future good. hope, the constant expectation of future good. You know what I saw that happened in this recent election that we watched? What I saw is a big cry from people who want hope and are willing to throw in with what they just want hope. We see a people who want hope. Now, hoping in any person other than the person of Jesus Christ is going to, you know, obviously result in less than what we would really want. I would say that's just a fact, no matter who it is. Any person that we hope in other than the person of Jesus Christ is going to be less than what our hope would be. But when we hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, look at this. The God of hope fill you with all joy. Now, it's not just talking about happiness, because that's based on the derivative of circumstances, right? But joy comes from within. So that's Him inside of us. The God of all hope fills us with joy. Man, not just joy a little bit, not just peace in believing. Man, not just that peace that we have in believing that He is the Son of God, believing that He is going to do exactly what He says He's going to do, but that you may abound in hope. How do I abound in hope? What is the ultimate hope that we have as Christians? Man, He is going to come back for us. That's the ultimate hope, is that all this other stuff is going to just go away and we're going to go be with Him ultimately. Man, that's our hope, isn't it? Everything around, it's all going to burn, according to Peter, it's all going to burn in a fervent heat. The Porsche and the Volkswagen are going to go the same way. It's going to all burn in a fervent heat. You ever watch a car burn? It's quite an experience. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that happened to my car once. Guy's done some really dumb things. I was trying to go to this nudist beach on the other side of McKenna's Beach, on the other side of Maui. I was a much younger guy, and this is a long time ago, and I wasn't walking with God. But I was trying to get to this nudist beach, and I get to the nudist beach, and we get out of the car. We drove around the backside of the island to get there, and we're just kind of on this adventure, me and a couple of my buddies. And I get out of the car, and there's smoke, and it's like, wow, whoa. So I'm looking at I open the thing. It's a little Volkswagen bike. I open the thing. The thing was still pumping gas, but the hose had come off. And so squirting gas all over the super hot, you know, their pancake engines, you know. And just all of a sudden the flames start up. Everything's just going to burn. I throw sand. There's nothing I could do. So I got my buddies out of the car. I hitchhike back. I get back before the fire department gets there, and just watch the whole thing burn to the ground. Needless to say, I never made it to the nudist beach, but had to hitchhike back home and call it a day. That cost me a lot of money. I had no transportation. I had to hitchhike to the other side of the island for the next 6 months to go to work. I had to save enough money to buy another car. It was just awful. That's what you get. Let that be a lesson to you, young fellas. And older fellas. So we're free in Him, but not really free to do that, obviously. And we should have hope, not in a bunch of things of this world, but our hope should be in the return of Jesus Christ. That all that we see, all that's going on around us, is all going to burn in fervent heat. But man, we want to focus on the fact that Jesus is going to come back for us. Man, that's a purifying effect in my life. That makes me think about, man, where do I want to be found? Not at McKenna's Beach. You see? I want to be found doing what I'm supposed to be doing, bringing my friends to church, you know, sharing Jesus Christ with them, you know, sharing the love of God. Man, this is what can abound. It should abound in our lives, that hope that Jesus is coming back, that hope that salvation is found in His name. Man, that's what we want to abound in that. Isn't that exciting? Man, that's what we want to be excited about and moving forward. And how are we going to do this? Man, by the power of His Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit within us, helping us to abound, helping us to keep our focus on not this life, but on what's out there in the future. What? Hope and constant expectation of future good. The ultimate best thing that can happen is the presence of God. Jesus coming back, taking us back to be with Him.